This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is convening his cabinet for a ratification vote on phase one of the peace deal reached with Hamas.
It was 2 years ago this week that Hamas attacked Israel, killing 1,200 people, taking 250 hostage. Since then, Israel's response, killing more than 67,000 Palestinians, including 20,000 children, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Gaza decimated.
ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Hostage Square in Tel Aviv.
We've seen celebrations here, singing, dancing, the Israeli flag, the American flag, signs saying we love you, Trump. In the words of one mother of a hostage, saying I can be a mother who hugs her son again.
Once the Israeli cabinet signs off on the deal, the hostage release and prisoner exchange is expected to happen, probably Monday. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing a public health alert for FSIS-inspected ready-to-eat meals produced by Fresh Realm containing riced cauliflower that may be contaminated with listeria. Based on current evidence, the products included in this public health alert are not related to any ongoing outbreak investigations. The products subject to the public health alert are sold by Blue Apron, 13.05-ounce plastic tray packages labeled Dish by Blue Apron Cheesy Chicken Mac with Vegetables with lot codes 25240 and 25247. The product bears establishment number P3081 and sold by Marley Spoon 10.5-ounce packages labeled Balance by Marley Spoon Barbecue Sauce Beef Meatballs with Cheesy Cauliflower with lot code 25255. The product bears establishment number 47718. There have been no confirmed reports of adverse reactions due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned about an illness should contact a health care provider. FSIS is concerned that these products may be in consumers' refrigerators or freezers. Consumers who have purchased these products are urged not to consume them. These products should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase. Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin presents Pride and Prejudice Friday through Sunday, October 10th through 12th and 17th through 19th at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Performances will be held Fridays and Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 2. Cost of admission is $15 for adults and $10 for children. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Game 4, Cubs and Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, there will be a Game 4 tonight in Chicago. The Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3. Chicago scoring all of their runs in the first inning, keeping their playoff hopes alive. On the brink of elimination, Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
It's fun and stressful in the same sentence and the same light, and I think you feel both emotions a lot.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Both teams come out firing, you know, that's what it's about. They know us, we know them. There's a lot of emotion in the game, and it says something for both teams. Really.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pistons in preseason basketball tonight. Doc Rivers asked about that ESPN report that the Bucks discussed trading Giannis to the Knicks.
It was a conversation where a team called, and John has been saying no now for 11 years. I don't know why this is a news story, you know, but I guess it is.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine here for our Thursday afternoon with a south breeze of 5 to 10, and highs will climb into the upper 60s. Clouds increasing tonight, showers and storms around with lows in the mid-40s. Clouds clearing out Friday. Currently 44 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Earth Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then joining me in studio is children's illustrator Rob Momartz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is a regular, well, he's been a guest of ours many times, and certainly he's been very, very busy all over the networks in the last couple of weeks. Retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Good morning. Always great to talk with you, Jane.
So many places to start. Really, yes. So many places to start. I wanted to ask you, first of all, the training that's involved with our National Guard troops and our military troops. And again, you were a Major General in the U.S. Army. You were in the Army for more than 30 years. Is the training that our troops receive the same training that local cops get?
Absolutely, positively, no. Local police, state police receive 4 to 6 months of training according to the local city or town or state. And that covers a wide variety of areas from local law, how to de-escalate situations, what are their duties and responsibilities, as well as, of course, police activities and actions, which includes firearms training and so on, and the proper use of firearms according to the local laws. Our military receive no training like that whatsoever. The most they receive will be a handful. I mean 10, 5, 15 hours of instruction of whatever things they need to know for the particular mission that they are doing to support, in this particular case, ICE. So the answer is, hell no, they don't receive that kind of training. They also receive huge amounts of training in combat operations, which, of course, would never be used in American cities.
Well, I guess that's kind of my point, sir, is that, again, our military is trained to make war. Local police get different training on how to de-escalate situations and how to, right? Try to, I mean, it's a different kind of training.
Absolutely. It's also important for all your listeners to understand that this administration is trying to escalate tensions in blue cities and blue states. He is not a president nor an administration who wants to de-escalate violence. He actually wants to create environments where, let's just pour some gas on that little tiny fire, or he'll start a fire where there is none whatsoever. It was rather shocking. I was doing a CNN interview last week where the commentator was saying, look at these National Guardsmen and how they're treating those protesters. And I said, first of all, those are not National Guardsmen. Those are ICE and other federal agents. They are, quite frankly, Trump's Gestapo. They are poorly trained. They are in military uniforms. They vary by their uniform. Many of them have face masks. It was a mob. So whenever I was talking about it, the mob was not the protesters. The mob were these untrained, poorly trained. Again, I use this term so everyone understands it. These are nothing more than Trump's Gestapo.
And I think I don't think that can be said enough, that we don't know anything about these ICE officers. We don't know if they were all January 6th defendants that he pardoned. They could be made up of the Patriot Front, the Three Percenters, the people who marched in Charlottesville who said Jews will not replace us. We don't know anything about these people. And the fact that we are allowing them to be masked adds a whole nother level of menace to this.
It's meant to intimidate, and it's meant to deny accountability. I say again, those masks are meant to intimidate the people on TV and to withhold their identity. They do not want to be held accountable for how poorly they are treating the protesters and or immigrants or even U.S. citizens. And that is unconscionable relative to local police and to federal and to state police, who do have rules, who are accountable, whereas it appears ICE agents are not accountable. And in fact, the attorney general has, and others, Stephen Miller, they're basically making comments that, quite frankly, are close to those in the past who were defined and convicted of war crimes. The Secretary of Defense is in the same category. Rip the arms off of our enemy and feed them to the hogs. Those words are the words we would perhaps have heard from those people who have been convicted around the world in present and past situations of war crimes. It's absolutely demonic what is happening with many of the leaders in this administration.
And I want to spend some time talking about the Secretary of Defense. That's what I'm going to call him. He is the Secretary of Defense. But one of the things, too, from a procedural standpoint as well, and I'm thinking of Washington, D.C., you have National Guard troops, you also have police, but when they're also sending in other agencies as well, you have ICE, FBI, they're roaming the streets looking for problems, they're getting in each other's. I mean, the police are there to take care of the city. It doesn't probably help them to have the National Guard on their back. And then when you have in D.C., agents just roaming around the streets with guns, that gives a problem for just not only enforcement, but keeping situations calm in the first place. I keep thinking about a simple car accident that happened in D.C. And before they knew it, there was 24 various agency members with guns. That doesn't help anything. It doesn't help the police. Certainly doesn't help the National Guard. And it just seems like, as you said, it's just an intimidation factor.
And an escalation factor.
Yes. Yeah, I have to really challenge all of your listeners to ask yourself, which part of history do you want to be on for your children and your grandchildren to say, oh yeah, I fully supported Trump and his thug tactics, and I'm proud of it. Or I made a mistake. I voted for him for various reasons, and how he started to implement it was against everything that I have ever taught you, my children and my grandchildren, and you should never act like that. And I was wrong. Or are you going to look at your children in their eyes or your grandchildren and say, I stood up for what was right and I did the very best I could? Or even worse, I did nothing.
And said nothing.
Yeah.
And said nothing. If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest, spent more than 30 years in the U.S. Army, and just talking about sending U.S. troops into American cities, among many other things. I assume that you watched Pete Hegseth address our generals and all of our flag officers, essentially insulting them and fat shaming them. And what was your initial reaction after watching that?
So here we have a disgraced major who was kicked out of the National Guard, as well as a draft dodging president who paid a doctor to say he had bone spurs. neither of those people, neither of them is qualified in any manner to be able to address those combat veterans in the way that they did. Every man and woman, every officer, every senior enlisted leader in that room has had the lives of our sons and daughters in their hands to do the very best they could to train them and prepare them for combat and to be able to treat others with dignity and respect, independent of their race, their color, their national origin, their religion, or of course their gender. And here you have, and again, they're very well educated as well. Everyone in that room has advanced degrees. Everyone has been around the world. Everyone knows what right looks like. They sat there and they listened politely to the Secretary of Defense and to the President spew the political rhetoric and their war criminal language and played applause at the end. But that was it. No hooting and hollering, because that's not what our senior leaders in our military do. They don't pledge allegiance to the President. They refuse. It is absolutely wrong to think that our military is serving the President. They serve the Constitution and they serve the American people. That's why, I mean, I've talked to a few people in Oregon. I've talked to them in Chicago as well as in Memphis. The fact that the National Guard is showing up actually is a good thing. They are, first of all, they should never be there to begin with. But I'm telling you, they should not be afraid of the National Guard, because the National Guard is disciplined. They are going to do the right thing, and that they will not put you in harm's way compared to the ICE agents. And again, the thugs that are apparently called ICE agents.
I want to take this topic back about a week or so from when actually the event happened. What was your first thought when you heard that the Secretary of Defense called for this meeting? Because when we heard about it, there was an immediate of what is going to happen. Also, and Jane, you brought this up, not a very good idea to tell the whole world where our, at the time, the President wasn't going to be there. It was going to be Pete Hegseth and all of these upper echelon military folks. Not a really good idea to put that out in the world. What was your first thought when you heard about just the announcement of this meeting?
I knew in my head that it had to be for 100% political show. Whenever it was going to be televised, that just sealed the deal. It was 100% theater, because you never, ever, ever bring in all your commanders from around the world, because not only is it costing the taxpayer, not the President, it's your money and it's my money, millions of dollars to bring all those people in. Not only, of course, that, for example, a four-star commander, not only do you bring him, you bring a couple of his executive officers to manage all the tasks that have to go on, independent of the travel and the fiasco of being forced to sit in that theater. You also have to bring classified communication teams so you can stay in contact with your command. And then you also have to bring a small security detail, because these people are targets for, obviously, the bad guys. And to put them all in one room, not only has it never been done, it should never have been done. It's dangerous. It's a misuse of American taxpayer money. And of course, even worse, all of those generals and admirals know that they were absolutely props, again, as part of political theater. Although it did blow up in the face of the President, who was shocked that they were not hooting and hollering.
Yeah, where's
He's never
my
had ever an audience.
Yeah, where's my applause? He's used to walking into lunch and everyone at Mar-a-Lago stands up and applauds him.
Please clap.
Yeah, please clap. Exactly. But essentially, Major General, Pete Hegseth gave them permission in that speech to commit war crimes, right? It was like, we're removing the shackles from all these behaviors that we were prevented from doing.
Right. I will tell you that if any war crimes do occur under his watch, I'm going to say with a high degree of certainty, he will be prosecuted by the International War Crimes Tribunal, because he actually said it publicly around the world. It'll happen.
We're going to continue our conversation with retired Major General Randy Manner. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like at Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, we will lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet, and today we're going to do sports. Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media's sports director, is going to join us. I believe baseball may come up.
Baseball is fun.
Baseball is fun, yes. So that's coming up after the 10:30 news. Right now, though, we are joined by our guest, retired Major General Randy Manner, who served more than 30 years in the U.S. Army. And Greg, you had a question for him.
Well, first of all, I always want to thank you for being here, sir, because you said something before when you addressed our listeners. And I want the listeners who disagree with us to really see it in themselves, because I know they're out there and I appreciate their time. They don't have to listen, but you are not a super left ultra hippie liberal. You are a career military person who sees what you do as an oath to the Constitution, protecting our freedom and our country. And first of all, thank you for that. But also the fact that you're asking those questions, I think it's important to look into yourself and ask them of yourself, because if you are saying it, I think it's important. But earlier we had Jim Santel on, who was a U.S. attorney, and we were talking about this very thing about sending troops in. And I asked him, is there, if the Trump administration doesn't listen to judges, who's left to say no? Is it governors? Is it generals? I asked the same question for you, but more of the military. Is there someone, can there be someone who says, I swore an oath to the Constitution, not a king, I will not do this? There will be repercussions, I understand that, but do you see that happening? Is that possible, or do they work through it because they are orders?
Couple comments. First of all, about my own political leanings.
Yeah.
I have been registered as an independent my entire life in the state of Virginia. They no longer require you to register your party in Virginia. but I've always regarded myself as an independent. I have voted for president and for local leaders for Republicans as well as Democrats in my entire life. In fact, in Virginia, we had one of the greatest senators of all time, Senator Warner, until he retired as a Republican. I voted for him every single time. I'd vote for him today if he was running. So I want to make sure your listeners understand, while I say some things that are hard hitting, I am speaking from the middle. I am somebody who believes in our country. I am somebody who has at least 10 times taken the oath of office to defend the Constitution of the United States. And I take it very seriously. Do I know a lot about this because of what of my requirements, of my position? Yes, I do. Do I believe I understand more about what I'm going to call our governmental system and the relationship of the military to being led by civilian leaders? Yes, I do. It's not trying to say that other people don't know as much. It's just the fact that this was my career.
Right.
So I want to make sure people understand that, yes, I know a lot about this subject material. Number two, I am a centralist. And I know also a dictatorship when I see it, or when I say a dictatorship, even though the president was duly elected, the way he is acting is like a dictator, because I have seen dictators around the world. I have been in Russia. I've been in China. I have been, obviously, in Iraq and many other locations where there are or have been dictators, and as well as Eastern Europe. I've been to the Ukraine. So if people have been around the world and seen these things to see what kind of administrations send the military against their own people, they would have a far clearer understanding and perspective, not only of current events, but even of history. The second part, what are the guards to keep the president in line? The legal is the best way. Voting is the second best way, and peaceful protest is another way to do it.
There's a lot of concern, though, Randy, that the protesters are if protesters show up outside of ICE facilities and things like that, that gives the Trump administration more justification for sending in more troops and can help feed this problem.
So good point. When I was saying peaceful protest, yes, outside of ICE facilities, sure. But what I'm really trying to say is, let's gather in the city, in the cities. Let's gather in the town squares. You don't have to be anywhere near the ICE people, and I would say stay away from them. So we can, for example, October 18th is No King's Day.
Yep.
I'll be speaking at a rally in Virginia about that. And those are not going to be near any ICE agents, and I would say show up with your family, show up and say, what does right look like? So that's what I meant by protest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say you should confront
right.
ICE. That
Absolutely.
Is not what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And
we need a show of the American people, but not in that manner. We need to get in the town squares. We need to be in the cities. We need to say, this is not the way America is supposed to be.
Well, and I would assume also that with your experience and in seeing other authoritarian countries, for people who think what's happening right now is good, at some point you're not going to be good enough and they're going to come for you.
That's correct.
Right?
They will come for you. Just like that quote in World War II, you know, they came for everyone else and I said nothing, but they didn't come for me. And when they came for me, there was no one left to say anything. Mm. I mean, that is well documented. And that will happen.
Thank you so much to our guest, retired Major General Randy Manner, more than 30 years in the U.S. Army. We really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for what you guys do. Thank you.
News is coming up next, and then we will lighten it up. We'll talk all things sports balls. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Following last week's community forum in Richland Center, we have been highlighting the different entities who make up the panel: the Richland School District, Simons Recreation Complex, the Richland Hospital and Clinics, the City of Richland Center, and Richland County. Today, we are focusing on the Richland Hospital, represented by CEO Bruce Raisler.
The hospital is a nonprofit corporation. We're 501c3, and so what does that mean? Who owns the Richland Hospital, if not the city or the county or something? Well, as a nonprofit, we have a corporation that operates independently, but its mission and purpose is to serve the greater Richland area and is self-perpetuating. So think of it as being analogous to Grace, right? Who does fantastic work, by the way, but who owns Grace? Well, we all do. It's a community board, or Richland United Givers, or any number of fine nonprofits in our area. So on one hand, we're a private organization, but on the other hand, if you know a little bit about healthcare, a lot of healthcare gets funded by taxpayers, by you and me, either with federal dollars or state dollars through the Medicare program or the Medicaid program, most substantially. In fact, roughly 72% of the revenue that it takes to run the Richland Hospital comes either directly or indirectly from government sources. So I feel we kind of belong up here in that regard. Again, we're not a public organization, but we definitely rely on the public tax dollar. And again, our purpose likewise is to serve the community.
I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you haven't checked your Apple TV bill recently, you might want to, as the price has gone up. Not sure if that has to do with tariffs or just general inflation, but in August, Apple TV tacked on an extra 3 big ones a month, changing their rates from $9.99 to $12.99 a month. Thanks, Apple. With the way things are in America right now, all us hardworking people have is TV. Maybe to protest, I will no longer use my iPhone. Yeah, that's not going to happen. If you're looking for something new on the small screen, check out an oldie but a goodie in The Honeymooners. The comedy classic premiered 70 years ago in October of 1955. The Honeymooners ran for one season and 39 episodes, if you can believe that. The show starred Jackie Gleason as Ralph Cramden, Audrey Meadows as Alice Cramden, and Joyce Randolph and Art Carney as neighbors, the Nortons. Oftentimes, there are two episodes in a half hour, and they're well worth taking a look at. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine here for our Thursday afternoon with a south breeze of 5 to 10, and highs will climb into the upper 60s. Clouds increasing tonight, showers and storms around with lows in the mid 40s. Clouds clearing out Friday. Currently 44 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Alba.
If you're a Windows 10 user, tune in next time as we'll talk about the potential end for support, and we're giving away tickets to No Packers, No Life, the new Packers movie, next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things to talk about going on in sports. Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, is here. Good morning. Okay, we lost last night, Game 4. It's going to be okay. Tell Greg Bach, Jimmy, that everything's going to be okay.
Everything is going to be okay, Greg.
Thank you.
Everything's going to be okay.
Thank you.
Would much rather be up 2-1 in a best-of-five series than down 2-1 in a best-of-five series. And the Brewers find themselves in pretty good shape going into tonight. You got to consider, though, the Brewers had their chances in the game yesterday, and everything gets magnified so much in the postseason, in elimination games and in a postseason series. All these little things. People are talking about the decision whether to bunt, not to bunt, the base running, the pitching choice. Like, all these things get so magnified in a single game. And you got to remember, it's a long series. It's a long haul. And the Brewers still have two more chances to get this done, including today. So not pressing the panic button yet. Tonight, I think that the tension will be a little higher on the Brewers. But it's still good for the Brewers. They're still up 2-1. They need one win to advance.
Okay, I would like to make something perfectly clear here. Because Jane is treating me like I'm an invalid, incapable of handling anything.
Just very sensitive. Very sensitive.
Don't tell men to feel their feelings. And the moment we start feeling our feelings, tell us stop feeling our feelings.
I have no problem with you being sensitive.
But my point is that in a five-game series, is a sweep possible? Absolutely. Is it likely? I don't know. I don't know statistics. I don't math very well. But what I did say to myself is that if we lose tonight, we lose tonight. There are other chances. For me, and I don't know, and you're far more into this world than I am, but the melting down, and not even of Cubs fans, like Cubs, okay, I get it. Cubs fans, you want another World Series ring. I get that. I'd like a World Series ring.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And I don't know if you saw this specifically on Twitter, Jimmy, but the melting down of the Chicago sports writing intelligentsia. I mean, when they won that second game, these guys were saying things that were, I mean, this is from a guy who wrote in the Tribune. I'm not even going to say his name because he doesn't deserve my words. He said, I took one psychology class at Mizzou, and my theory is the Brewers fans resent the fact Chicago is a world-class city with great architecture and restaurants, while Milwaukee is a place with a statue of the bronze Fonz. Everyone has their heart broken at some point, but eventually you move on. Milwaukee refuses to move on from council snub, even though Murphy has been a remarkable, efficient replacement. I don't know what those words mean because that is the most put together thing I could find right now. I can't read them all, but like from making fun of Jacob Mizorowski for being excited, from saying the Brewers don't deserve any of this, and also some of them are even going for the cheating aspect, quote, juiced balls. I mean, it is wild, Jimmy. Are you seeing this? Have I been missing this for years?
Welcome to sports social media. This is what it is every single day.
Oh my existence. God!
This is the roller coaster you live on with social media, and this is why. You know, not only with just fandoms in general, but with the advent of sports betting, with just all these things you're tossing into the pot, people have gone really off the rails sometimes in how they analyze sports. And and I'm not saying I'm above any of it, because there are definitely days where a sports team can affect my mood. But, you know, when you hear things like this or you read things like this, you take it with a heap of salt. People are too invested into this day to day. And it's fine. People can be fans, but there's a point where it crosses a line of being even a little toxic in a way as a sports fan. And I can't put myself in those shoes, because I get to a point where, like, you know, I have other things in my life to feel this strongly about. And generally sports don't elevate to that, except for the sports I coach, because I'm in those day to day.
You
know, that's a little different, but like a professional team, I have no control over, you know. And I hear things like that when people talk about Milwaukee, and Milwaukee gets talked about a lot, unfortunately, negatively by other markets. We're seeing that even with the Giannis rumors, you know, like, why would you want to stay in Milwaukee? It's cold. Well, first of all, newsflash, Milwaukee's amazing. I love Milwaukee. Yeah. And I'm from a tiny little town in northern Wisconsin, but Milwaukee's amazing. Second of all, when people from larger markets are looking, you know, well, how can Wisconsin have this kind of success? And there's a little bit of envy there, because Milwaukee's able to build the best record in baseball out of, you know, half the payroll or a third of the payroll as other major league teams can. Mm-hmm. And I think people are just wondering why they can't do the same thing. Milwaukee sports, Green Bay, Packers, you can toss them into that, have been remarkably resourceful over the years and finding their way to championships, to success. I think just for big markets where they spend huge amounts of money on rosters and all these things, they can't figure out why. Well, if we throw money at the problem, why isn't it working? Where these teams can go draft, develop, and be successful in their programs. I think there's just, that's a little bit of it. And on top of that, just to go back to what Greg said, yeah, Milwaukee's awesome. I don't know what they're saying about Milwaukee just being a broad spot. Milwaukee's great.
Well, seriously, the Chicago sports writers sound like the head cheerleader who's all upset because she wasn't picked to be prom queen over the sax player in the band. I mean, get over yourself, Chicago. Give me a break.
That's a perfect representation of what they sound like, honestly.
What a bunch of babies.
And what you said too, Jimmy, is very true. And I responded to that. I directly called out that writer in the Tribune and said, look, we're not thinking about you all the time.
We don't have Chicago envy.
Chicago is under the, and this is my theory. Chicago is under the belief that places like, and I don't hear them say about these cities, but I guarantee you they do. But they do say this about Milwaukee. Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Detroit, St. Louis. Those are the biggest big cities around them. I guarantee you they say the same thing about them they say about us, is that we wish we were Chicago.
We wish we were them.
And to me, every time I hear someone say that, all I hear is, we're not LA and New York. LA and New York don't think about you either. Neither does Milwaukee. Just live your life. Chicago, you're great. You're great. Your teams are great. Well, not the White Sox, but, you know, they're fun. But, like, it's just that thing of as you put it, I got things to do. Nowhere on my list of things to do, Jimmy, is wish I was Chicago. That's not on my list. I mean, if the Cubs lose tonight, they are going to explode.
It's because a total meltdown.
Because as you just said, small market versus big market, they're going to feel insulted. Big markets feel like they deserve it because they're the ones who pay $1 billion for players. They feel like they deserve it. And Milwaukee, you're fun to play. But we have been the best team in baseball for months. We've had some of the best pitching. The fact that we couldn't get some runs on the people we had on base last night, even, we have like one of the highest rates of on base percentage, like runs. But it is that thing. Is like we don't deserve it because we're Milwaukee. We're small. The Dodgers deserve it. The Cubs deserve it. It's like, no, the best team deserves it, unless you're the Astros and you cheat. But that is just, I mean, I could not believe it. I mean, I expected some Cubs fans to be like, oh, Milwaukee, but like professional human beings who are paid to write. Jimmy, I don't know how you do it, how there's not like 7 empty bottles of alcohol underneath your desk right now.
Well, we don't know that there are.
That's true. I'm putting a lot of trust in you, sir.
Yes.
Pleading the fifth. Here's the thing. You're also going to get this in the next round. If the Brewers advance, the next round is probably the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
Now you're talking big market again, big payroll again. And it really feels like these two teams have been on a collision course.
It's a rematch.
The same things are going to come out of a West Coast market about a Midwestern city. I mean, this is just what you live with. We're seeing it with the Giannis rumors about Giannis going to New York, where we've seen it with the Brewers versus LA versus Chicago versus whoever. It is what it is. I mean, this is something that is nothing new for Wisconsin sports fans to deal with. And honestly, the overall response from Wisconsin sports fans has been, much like you said, Greg, we're not thinking about you at all. Like, we're just living our best lives here.
Yeah.
You know, with our flannels and our 7 bratwursts per meal a day. Like, that's what we do.
Well, and just so LA, by the way, in case it comes down to the Dodgers and the Brewers, mm-hmm. we don't want to be you either.
No.
Just get over yourselves, well, okay? Just bring your ego down just a little bit, all right? We're fine.
Where is Chicago saying those things? By the way, if you're just joining us, I'm Matt and Aaron. We're talking to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cusca, who's joining us today. Happily, we love having you on the show, buddy.
We do.
It's so great. I just have a feeling if they played the Dodgers, which will be a rematch from 2018, it's going to be a lot of, where even is Milwaukee? It's like, okay, that's the best you can do. They will say that. But I think it's funny, too. You say that people will talk about Giannis. Why do you want to stay in Wisconsin? It's cold. So is New York. So are a lot of cities he'd probably go to, except maybe L.A., but that's on fire. So, I mean, I just love I loved what he posted to shut everyone up, which is a picture of him in his uniform saying, let's go.
The Giannis rumors are kind of an annual tradition.
Yeah.
It's even more than an annual tradition, especially lately, because his contract, for better or worse, shapes up for him to be a very, very attractive trade target next year with an expiring deal. So now these rumors, every time Giannis's contract comes up, they get ramped to infinity. And you had the report coming out that all of a sudden there are trade talks. The trade talks were that, you know, the New York asked and Milwaukee said no. That's pretty much what the trade talks were. I mean, are they technically trade talks? Maybe. Probably not. I mean, it's one of those things, though, where you can write a headline saying they're talking about trading Giannis, and then you look into the context of it, and it's like, oh, yeah, I think every other team, 29 other teams in the NBA, would absolutely love Giannis Antetokounmpo on their team.
Sure.
But the Brewers aren't going to the Bucks aren't going to entertain it. Or the Brewers won't either because he's a part owner. So,
yeah.
Bucks are looking to trade him. That would take them immediately out of championship contention. And if any of the moves the last few years, have been any indication, they are all in on trying to find something to crack open that championship window just for a little longer for Giannis. They wouldn't make the big kind of trades and the big kind of moves they've made the last few years without that in mind. So I think there's very, very little chance that he's going anywhere this season. And I know ESPN and others are rooting for it, but I don't see it.
That would break a lot of folks' hearts. There would be a lot of heartbroken fans if Giannis would leave the Bucks. In the time we have left, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about Packers.
Oh, Packers. All right. Well, let's go. Well, they get to play a team this week that's got... I was like, I'm waiting for the lead into that. I was
because here's a little backstory. 2 weeks ago, we had Paul Noonan on the show, and he said there's no way that the Packers could lose to the Cowboys. Well, he was right, half.
Definitely right.
But it's sort of like you're 2-1-1. Oh, geez, what happens?
Yeah, so that's a quarter of the way through the season. We got a long, long ways to go. The Packers are in the middle of a really weird stretch of their schedule. They're only getting one home game in the span of about, 5 or 6 weeks. So they're in a weird spot in their schedule. There's a lot of weird game times. It doesn't really settle down for them until after October, right? So right now they're just kind of navigating some of the logistical challenges of this portion of the schedule. I think the bigger concern for the Packers is trying to figure out how to get the defense working again, because the defense came up very strong. They hadn't trailed really a lot in any game until Dallas, and when they got back and forth at the end. I think just figuring out how to get the defense back on track will help them. Offensively, things are actually looking extremely bright. You got to remember that with all the great things they're doing on offense right now, Packers still are going to get Christian Watson back later this year, and that's going to turn this offense on fire.
Jimmy Cusca is Civic Media Sports Director. Thanks so much, Jimmy. Really, really appreciate it. Go Pack. Go Brewers.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Them too. All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. The Museum of What edition? Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on a Maine ballot initiative pushing restrictions on voter ID and mail-in voting. Then mysteriously, on September 30th, 250 unmarked absentee ballots from Ellsworth, Maine showed up in an Amazon package 40 miles away. The plot thickens. Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows announced that both Maine authorities and the FBI were investigating. Ellsworth's town clerk received two boxes of mail ballots September 30th and notified the Secretary of State's Election Division that one box was missing 250 unmarked mail-in ballots and that the box's security tape had been altered. 40 miles away, a Newburgh, Maine resident reported receiving an Amazon package which included her order and the missing 250 ballots. The resident brought the ballots to the Newburgh town clerk, who notified the Elections Division at 8 a.m. October 1st. But that day, pictures of the resident's beat-up and retaped Amazon box surfaced on social media, with messages decrying Maine's election integrity. The conservative Maine Wire news blog quoted the resident as saying, "I am greatly concerned for our state and its voting requirements." GOP legislators seized on the missing ballots as proof that question one should be passed. Secretary of State Bellows remarked, "To any bad actor involved, you will be caught and you will be punished." We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, baseball tonight, crew at the Cubs. Our broadcast will start at 7:30. First pitch going out about 8:08, I believe. It's going to get late tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe take a disco nap.
A disco nap?
Disco nap.
Wow, I've never heard that term before.
Really?
Yeah.
Before you go hit the clubs, you'd have to take a little nap.
Born when discos were popular, so I wasn't going to a lot of discos. I took a lot of naps in those days.
Well, you were napping, so that was part of it.
I was a widow boy.
Anyway, but yes, our broadcast will start tonight. Brewers at the Cubs at 7:30. You cannot listen on the stream, but you can listen on terrestrial radio. So catch the game on WRCE. In Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN 99.9 FM, 1400 AM. Cubbies hosting the Brewers. Go Crew. Our broadcast starts tonight at 7:30. Coming up on the show tomorrow, jam-packed show, Will Westmoreland is going to join us.
Yes. We had a week of great guests.
We have had a lot of guests, and we're talking a lot about tariffs because that is big in the news and our farmers. Will is a farmer in southwestern Ohio, Missouri. And we have talked to Will a number of times over the past couple of months, so we'll get an update. I'd like to hear what he is hearing from his fellow farmers on how they're being affected by these tariffs, and now there's allegedly going to be a bailout. So that's all coming up tomorrow, and then Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the Recombobulation Area. So we'll be recombobulating tomorrow with Dan Schaefer. Right now, it is almost 10:55. Calvin, that means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from the Associated Press. Who's the lucky person? Heather Hollingsworth. Lucky one with the byline. Headline reads, Hair Museum, filled with century-old mementos, closes its doors, scattering its contents around the nation. Independence, Missouri hosted the Lila's Hair Museum.
Just so, come on now.
With century-old wreaths made from human hair.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Other glass cases overflowing with necklaces and watch bands, all woven from the hair of the dearly departed. They also reportedly come from past presidents, Hollywood legend Marilyn Monroe. For 30 years, the Hair Museum in the Kansas City suburb of Independence attracted an eclectic group, including Ozzy Osbourne.
That makes sense.
That would be his kind of thing, right? Yeah. Unfortunately, the museum's namesake, Lila Cohen, died last November at the age of 92. Her granddaughter trying to rehome the hair collection of more than 3,000 pieces. So she's trying to distribute these to museums around the country, including the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York and the National Museum of Women in the Arts in D.C.
I don't do this often, Jane, but I will say we missed the mark on the title for today. Should have been Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow.
Oh, rats.
But yeah. Have you ever seen mourning jewelry up close?
I have.
That is it's somehow very beautiful, yet very creepy and incredibly seems appropriate for the times then. And if you don't know what mourning jewelry, I mean, mourning as in mourning the death, it's jewelry that would have like a locket with a picture, but also a little slice of hair.
But again, they also made like pins.
Yes.
Yeah. Watch bands.
Mm-hmm.
I toured the, of course I did. I toured the National Funeral Museum in Houston a number of years ago. Natural Museum of Funeral History.
Okay, no.
It's fascinating.
You can't call it the natural. Don't try to make it seem like the field museum.
But it's fascinating. But they had many examples of mourning jewelry, which is a very big thing in the mid-1800s. Women coiled the hair of the deceased into jewelry or told the story of their family's history by entwining the curls of the loved ones into wreaths. Hair art, though, fell out of favor by the 1940s as photographs became much more popular.
Well, and there was also that movement of the age-old story of they used to have the body in the front room of the home, and they renamed it the living room because the living gave it more of a pop when they're trying to show, because that thing went out of style as funeral homes.
They wanted
to get that out of the home, so they renamed it the living room.
Opposed to the parlor.
Exactly, because they wanted to be like, this is where the family who is alive comes and sits down and has fun. Yeah, we really kind of really did a number on our dead folks back in the day. We really honored them back in the day.
Well, it was a much different thing.
Yeah.
Evans, who is the granddaughter now, says she is struggling with a mix of emotions, trying to rehome her grandmother's legacy. Again, these are historical artifacts, a lot of them from the mid-1800s.
I feel like there's enough people, both whether it's other museums or just collectors, I feel like there are people, this is a market.
They'll find a home for that stuff. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Israel and Hamas agreeing to a pause in their two-year-old war. The Israeli cabinet is meeting right now and is expected to ratify the proposal. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House with more on the first phase of the plan that was put forth by President Trump.
We know that in this phase one agreement, this is the plan now that would see the release of potentially all the remaining hostages, the release of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel, and that partial withdrawal of IDF forces from Gaza. That is phase one. But there are a lot of questions about what phase two would look like and how those negotiations could be very complicated. And we have seen negotiations fall apart before when they got to phase two.
As a part of phase two, including that withdrawal from certain parts of Gaza, further governance of the territory is also in question. For now, though, phase one, once the Israeli cabinet signs off on it, the hostages expected to be released.